surrender. That's not the surrender, you know, like if somebody sticks you up and they want your wallet, you know, and you surrender it under duress, under, you know, your life. Surrendering to God is a yielding to Him, to His Spirit, a yielding to His will, to His purpose. You're giving your will over to the will of God and then going with Him. It's a yielding, a surrendering to His ways. You understand? Different than what the world would say as a surrendering. But I'm grateful that He's touched our hearts this morning and that we're willing to surrender to Him today. Amen? Our children are being excused there, dismissed to children's church. Have a blessed time in God. We'll see you in a few minutes. Grace of God upon you teachers and ministers there, helping our young kids get to know their God. Sounds like the church organ is here today, brother. Thank you for that. Well, the last time I spoke with you, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the love of God. And it was based on Paul's word, which is found at the end of 2 Corinthians, where he's talking about the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. He says, be with you all. So that in and of itself, there's a lot in there, and we've been in that verse and looking at some things, the grace of God, the love of the Father, and we'll get to the communion of the Spirit of God. But I'm grateful that the Spirit of God is here today with us. I want to focus still today a little bit more on the love of God with you. I want to go a little deeper into the love of God that has come to us in Jesus Christ and focus a little bit today on how we are to live out of that in our lives in this day in 2025. And so that's going to be the kind of focus of where we're headed. I'm going to entitle this message this morning for our recording up there and for those of you that may be viewing and listening on YouTube. I'm going to call this Kingdom Love. Kingdom of God love. See, this love that I'm going to be talking about today, it's not an earthly love. It's not a lower nature love. It's love that comes from a higher place, and that's from God Himself. And so if you will, please open your Bibles to Psalm 103 or get it on your device. There's some Bibles in the seats if you don't have, but let's all get the Word of God. Psalm 103. Before I read this morning, I was introduced to a couple people in the back there. Is anybody here for the first time this morning? Yeah. Why don't you all stand up and give me a shout from Florida, huh? What? You're here visiting? Go ahead. Tell the people who you are. And? Who's with you? Uh-oh, love is in the air. Did he say fiance, Jonas? I think he said fiance, didn't he? Okay. Hey, welcome to New York. Be with your family. Have a blessed time. Glad to have you here today. From Orlando. Yeah, give him a little welcome. Yeah, good. Praise God. The love of God is the same in Florida as it is in New York. So you're in a good place. Amen. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God and let the Spirit of God minister to you. Psalm 103, are you there? All right, let's take it from verse 1, okay? Here we go, buckle up. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Now He's going to identify some of the benefits for you. He says, who, God, right, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, listen, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And that loving kindness, that's the grace of God right there. And those tender mercies we're going to talk about today. Verse 5, he goes on and he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment or justice for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Verse 8, listen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So he kind of says it twice there in that one verse. He says, the Lord is merciful, full of mercy. And then he says, he's plenteous in mercy, in case you didn't catch it the first time. So God, part of his essence, part of who he is, he's filled with mercy to be released to people. We're going to look into it a little bit today. He says and goes on here, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Well, that's good news, because all of us deserved hell before Jesus Christ came into our lives. Amen? All our iniquities, all our sin, all of that. It says he didn't deal with us or reward us according to that stuff. I think he rewarded us and dealt with us according to his grace and his mercy. Aren't you glad about that? I certainly am. And so he goes on and he says this. He says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. So God's mercy is released to people. And he says, he brings in this thought here about to them that fear him. And that fear, just to qualify it, is the reverence of God. It's not being afraid of God that he's going to snuff you out, but it's recognizing that he's an awesome God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. You understand? You recognize it and you reverence him. You come low before God because of who he is. Amen? He's talking to us today, church. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Well, I'm not really sure how far that is. I just know that's a long way. As far as the east is from the west, he's taken your transgressions and removed them from you. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. A great promise there for us, church. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that reverence him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. He's a good, good father, is he not? To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So if you're in covenant relationship with God, and you're mindful of his commandments, of his word, and you're following them by the love and the grace of God that's been put in you, then this is for you today. He says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so there's a lot in this psalm, and I would encourage you to read it, to pray through it, to chew on it and meditate on it, to think on it throughout your day and throughout the week. God will open more and more to you as you spend time in it. But for today, let's all kind of get a hold of this mercy idea here, that mercy is really God's kindness to us. It's His love that's expressed to us. It's the compassion of God that moves towards us as His people. And there's a sense of forgiveness in this. Mercy is, you know, God giving us His love and extending His love to us in that we don't really deserve it. You understand? We've missed the mark. And so He forgives us and He removes our transgressions and He takes away our iniquities and He washes away the sin. He's a loving, loving Father in that regard. Do you hear the heart today? Mercy is expressed out of the heart of God. And so this, it's an expression of God, but we got to get it, church. We got to get a hold of this as His people today. I want to listen to the voice of the Spirit today, because I know He's speaking a little bit deeper. He's digging a little bit deeper in my life, and I know that that's because He wants to take you a little bit deeper and a little bit higher as well. And so as we come out of this psalm, let's bless the Lord for a moment. Just bless His name. We don't need music for this. Just lift your hands, lift your heart. Just bless the Lord for His mercy in your life. Bless the Lord for His forgiveness in your life. Come on, just bless the Lord because He's loved you. We were all but sinners on the way to hell, away from God forevermore, until the gospel of Jesus Christ came to us, until God reached with His mercy. Huh? Come on, until the blood of Jesus got on us. Ah, we bless Your name today, Lord. Thank You for the love of God. Thank You for Your mercy in our lives. We don't take it for granted. And Lord, we realize, I hope you realize this, church, that your identity is no longer a sinner once you come into Christ. You are no longer a sinner once the blood of Jesus has come upon you. That is no longer your identity. Once you give your life, you receive Christ into your life, and the blood of Jesus comes upon you, now He says, you're part of the family of God. You're one of the saints of God. Come on, church. That's why I address you. Good morning, saints. If you were a bunch of filthy sinners, I would say, good morning. You know. Of course I wouldn't say. Do you understand the difference? I'm making a joke, but I want you to see the difference. Because even when we pray and we get before God and we go to the throne, we're going there not as sinners anymore, but we're going as sons and daughters. You're going because of what Christ accomplished, because the blood of Jesus is on you. And so God sees us that way now. Isn't that good news? It is good news, yeah. You hear Deacon pray it every once in a while. Lord, see us through the blood of Jesus. See us through the cross of Calvary. That's right. See us as whole before You. That's how God sees us. So hey, just like Paul said, forget about those things that are behind you and look to those things that are before you and press to the high calling that's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you as saints. You got to know who you are, so you got to know your identity this morning. For too long, you know, I think the church is guilty of it in beating people down, you know, beating them down, and coming back for repent. Yeah, well, there's a place for repentance. But then once you come into the life of God that we're praising and worshiping Him about this morning, then you got to come knowing who you are, that, hey, I've been forgiven. I'm coming after you now, Lord. I'm living according to your will and your purposes. I'm after you as a saint now. I'm part of the family of God. You got to come that way now. We're not beggars. We're not second-class citizens. You're a child of the King. Woo! You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that good news? And how many know that when you come before a king, even in the natural, you got to come low? Huh? You got to bow low. See, but in your bowing to the King of Kings comes your identity and the power of God in your life. It's a kingdom principle. You got to go low in the kingdom to go high in God. You don't go high. It's not about who you are. It's not about your gifting. It's not about all that you can do, you know, for God. It's not about that. If you will take your gifting that He has so graciously given you, and you'll go low before God, and you'll offer that to Him, and ask Him to use that for His glory and His honor. Oh. You will be richly blessed and satisfied, and certainly in your ministry. And by the way, Sister Joanne, thank you for your ministry this morning. Your voice is coming back. And I don't just mean your natural voice. Your voice is coming back. Don't you appreciate, huh? You appreciate, yeah. When there's a gifting and there's somebody that really presses into it in God, that's so the body can be edified. Talk to Paul about it. That's so the body of Christ can be built up in the Spirit. When they can give that to the body, it could have its full purpose in our lives. I'm grateful for you. Thank you for that this morning. There's a lot of gifting here. There's a lot of graces here. And I've been trying since I've arrived here. God went like this. You, come here. Here. I want you to do work over here. Until they give me the bus ticket, you know, to get out of town, I'm doing the work of the Lord. I don't know, there was an envelope on the table out there. It had my name on it. Sister Elder said this morning when I was coming, Pastor, there's an envelope there for you. I said, what is it, a bus ticket? It's time to get out of town? What's going on here? I didn't open it before the service because I want to make sure if it's my last message, you know, that I preach well, you know, on my way out. Joking a little bit, a little anesthesia. It's all right. I'm grateful that whatever gifting God has put in me, that I'm sowing it into the body as well, so that we all could be edified and God could get His body maturing and coming into the fullness of what He desires for us. For Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. And all of us are part of the body. So find your place. Find your gifting. Find the graces that God's given you and cultivate them. Give them to God and we'll use them here to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. That's my commercial this morning on the gifting of God. You good, Jonas? I'm grateful for you as well. You know, you know that. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. I'm talking today about kingdom love. Just trying to get us all on the same place here, same page. Luke 6, please. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. As as you're getting there, the Gospel of Luke, Luke 6. How many of you, just by the show of hands this morning, how many of you have received the love of God in your life? Let me see. I've already addressed you as saints. Yeah, raise them up if you're one of his. If you're one of his kids. Yeah, you're one of his sons and daughters. Good. The love of God has touched your life. Amen? All right, stay with me now here. Luke 6. This is Jesus ministering here to his disciples. And I'm one of those men of God in the earth that believes that disciples are still being made in the world today. For Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations. And so part of my ministry is to make disciples of people. Not disciples of me. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I believe if you're a learner of Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're looking to be changed and to become more and more Christ-like in your life, that makes you a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, if Jesus was talking to disciples here in this day, in this book, when he released this, this same word is alive unto us today. So get a hold of it, disciples, because I'm going to tell you up front, not everybody is going to hear this. I'm aware. But for those of you that could hear today, those of you that could hear this, there's a great blessing in it for you. Listen, Luke 6, verse 27, Jesus speaking. But I say unto you, which hear. I say unto you today, which hear. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Is everybody still here? Nobody ran out yet? You were thinking about it, right, brother? Yeah, I know. Listen, none of us could do this apart from the grace of God. But Jesus calls his disciples to live this way, if you could hear it. If you could hear it by faith today. He goes on and he says, unto him that smites thee on the cheek, offer the other one as well. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. Wow. Really, Jesus? That's a tall order, Lord. Sometimes we have enough trouble getting along with each other, those that love us, right? Much less our enemies and those that are taking our stuff and slapping us in the face, right? Despitefully using us. It's a tough order. God's looking for disciples in the earth that could live like this. I don't know if you want to volunteer for this or not today. That's up to you. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Now listen, he goes on and he says in verse 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Right? So treat people the way you would like to be treated, right? Another way to say it. But it initiates with you. It starts with you. It doesn't say treat men the way they treat you. See, if they're nice to me, I'll be nice to them. If they're rude to me and obnoxious to me, then exactly. Thank you. I'm going to be that way back. See, that's the world. That's the world's way. This is kingdom love I'm talking about today. Kingdom love. He says, for if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same thing. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Three things he says here. He talks about love, he talks about doing good, and he talks about lending. He gives you three examples of how sinners live that way. The world lives that way. So if you do the same thing that they do, what thank have you? He's making a contrast between the sinner or the worldly way and the kingdom way or the godly way. He's contrasting it for his disciples. See, we used to live that way. Come on. But now you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, the kingdom of his dear son Jesus. And so now we're different. We do things differently. We love differently. We do good differently. We lend differently. Contrasting the sinner with the saint, if you will. If you've been touched by the love of God, by the mercy of God, this is possible for you to live like this. Jesus wouldn't call us to this lifestyle. He wouldn't ask us or tell us to move this way if it wasn't possible by the grace of God. Do you agree with me? So there's grace for us to live this way. There's grace for us. You choose. As I said in the beginning here of this word, not everybody's going to hear it. But to those that hear, a great blessing is wrapped up in it for you. Verse 35, please. He goes on and Jesus says this. He says, but now that he's told you all about the sinner, he says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. See, live this way. Love this way, do good this way, lend this way. Contrast. Kingdom love. Love, do good, lend. Then he says this. If you do this, he says, your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Are you children of the Most High God? Are you sons and daughters of God? Is he your heavenly Father? Are we desiring as disciples of Christ to be like him? You can shout amen at any point. If you're on this journey, if you're on this road and you're pressing towards this, pressing to be like Christ, if you're pressing to be one of the children of the highest, then this is how we're to live and love others. He says he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And then in verse 36, he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now listen, the mercy of God, folks, first and foremost, it has to come to us. You have to receive the mercy of God first in your life. Amen. And I checked, and I think everybody raised their hand in the room that the love of God, the mercy of God has touched us. And so as the Father's mercy has come to us and touched our lives, it's not just for us to enjoy and live that out, thanking God for His mercy, but yet it's to be expressed to those around us. You have to allow God to move through you to others, that His love, His mercy could be extended to those maybe that don't even know Him yet. Certainly we ought to live that way within the body of Christ, but I'm talking beyond that really today. I'm talking about those people that you work with, maybe that you go to school with or class, maybe that are in your neighborhood. I don't know, maybe that you go into a store and you catch it from the cashier, you know, or I don't know. There's plenty of people around us each and every day that could bring an offense easy, right? Certainly if you live on Long Island, if you live in the New York area, it's easy to catch them. And part of that, folks, is, you know, I've been seeing it all over the place lately because it just is. The culture is self-centered. The culture that we live in is me first. It's all about me, baby. Self first. If you can't do something for me, get out of the way. You see it everywhere. You hear it everywhere. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got, you know, something that's important to them that they're going to get on their soapbox about. Everybody's, you understand? Everybody's got the answer. Here's your answer. He's your answer. God needs some people in the earth that could live like this, that could share the love of God, that could be merciful to others so that others could be changed and come into the love of God and experience the mercy of God that you have experienced. We're not here just to receive, 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 and go to glory. There's some churches that believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that's God's pattern that we see in the book. I don't believe that's the spirit of a living God that loves us and loves people. I don't believe that that's the God that gave His Son for the world because He so loved them. I don't believe that. But God uses people, folks. He wants to use the body of Christ. He wants to use the people of God to express His love and His mercy in the earth. That's you. That's you. If you'll go to God and you'll be willing to live like this, God is going to provide you with the grace that you need to walk it out by faith. But you have to be willing. And none of us have arrived. None of us have got this down. Me first. I'm still being changed. Thank God. Just ask my wife. Thank God, huh? I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm pressing to be what He wants me to be. My daughter's not here today, but ask her. What's your father like, you know, behind closed doors? Ask the people that I work with, the people that see me, hear me, watch me 24/7. This is pretty much me, folks. This is me. My flesh stinks just like yours. I'm pressing to follow the Spirit of God. The Word of God says sons are led by the Spirit of God. He tells us to crucify our flesh and let the Spirit of God live. He tells us that we're dead unto sin and alive unto God. And lots and lots and lots of other truth does he tell us as his people, right? Well, today he's saying, look, I'm highlighting the love and the mercy of God. And I want you to see it. I want you to get it in your heart. And I want you to move with it to those around you, if you could hear it. If you could hear it. I got one more place I want to go, so I better move. Hebrews chapter 4, please. Talking about kingdom love today. Good news is everybody's still here. One more place, Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll bring it to a close. The writer of Hebrews, well, let me give you this quickly. One of the things that's significant in the beginning of Hebrews is that God has identified that he sent Jesus Christ, his son. He had sent him from glory as an apostle to the earth. Apostle is somebody with the message from the king, with the same authority and the same power, and it comes to a people in that way. And Jesus Christ brought the revelation of the Father to the earth. He came as the apostle, it says, and high priest. So when Jesus came to the earth, he came as God's apostle to the earth, and he declared the kingdom of God. He taught the kingdom of God. He ministered out of the kingdom of God. He demonstrated kingdom love. But then he would go to that cross, live to die, right? He would die a horrific death. They'd put him in a borrowed grave. In 3 days, though, he would rise from the dead, and he would go back to glory. And so as Jesus went back to glory, he went back as our high priest. The high priest was the intercessor. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. For the Bible declares that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for his people. Right? Interceding. See, he didn't get back to glory and put his feet up, you know, and just wait to be sent back to the earth, you know, to gather up his people. No, Jesus is still ministering as our faithful high priest. Thank God. I often say to him, Lord, please don't stop praying for us. Keep interceding for your people that we'd come into the will of God and move with you. That we wouldn't sit around waiting for you to come back. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That we'd be about the Father's business when he comes back. Amen? He's coming back. So this is part of what's in Hebrews as you get into the beginning of the book. Jesus Christ is identified as the apostle and high priest. Now, in Hebrews 4, in verse 14, listen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our belief, our profession of faith. Hold fast to your faith in God. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yeah, that was Jesus. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. And now he says this in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you see why we can go to the throne now? We can get there by the blood of Jesus, but what's at the throne of grace? We can get there to obtain mercy as we need it, huh? And the grace of God is there for us. Do you see that? We can go to God because of the finished work of Christ. We can go to God and he says, come on, come boldly, come in faith to my throne of grace and obtain mercy for your life and find grace to help in your time of need. Well, certainly we have to do that for ourselves. You got to go to God and get the mercy of God. You got to go to God and get the grace of God. But don't let it stop there. Once you receive his mercy and you receive the grace of God, then let it be expressed to those around you. Let it be released to others. Here, one last thing. You don't have to turn there. In the Gospel of Matthew, one of the things Jesus left us with was this. He said to us, actually he was speaking to his 12 at this time, but he was speaking to disciples again. And he said this, he said, freely you have received, freely give. So I'm saying in this context today, freely you've received the mercy of God in your life. Freely give it to those around you. Can you hear it today, church? Can you hear it? Freely, Lord, we've received of your love and mercy. Oh, give us the grace of God, Lord, to freely give it to those around us. I'll close. Thank God, huh? Thank God for his grace and mercy in our lives. Brother Jones, where would we be without the grace and mercy of God? I don't even want to think. We're his sons and his daughters in the earth today, church. So let's be like our Heavenly Father. Let's be like him. Be like him and express his love and mercy to others. Earlier I said to you during praise and worship to yield to God. That's surrendering to him. Well, apply it in this as well. Give yourself to God. Yield to him. Yield to the mercy of God that he's put in your life. And let that be released to others around you. You can affect people's lives with the love of God, with the mercy of God. It's kingdom living, folks. It's kingdom living. I'll say it one last time, and Brother Jonas, praise and worship team, you can come. Seal this up with some worship. Church, let's be merciful even as our Father is merciful. Amen. Amen. Praise and worship team.
To worship when I
In a word of prayer in the sweet, sweet presence of the Lord. Father, this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this gathering together of the saints of God. Lord, thank you for your truth. Lord, for the grace of God to live in it, to walk in the truth. You are a merciful God. And we thank you today for the mercy and love of God that's been extended to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let it move in us, Lord, and through us to those around us by the grace of God. Let us look, Lord, to love others and express your mercy to those that are in need of it. We thank you in advance for what you're doing in our lives. Father, be well pleased with this people as we move out in faith by the grace of God. Bless them and keep them in all their ways. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Amen.